I Can't Breathe, an excerpt by Samaya Overall, word count 1,050. Content warning, includes accounts of police brutality. My reflection stares back at me, my brown eyes cold and empty. I tilt my head, observing my reflection, trying to understand what they saw. What makes me different? What made him different? My questions are vague, my tongue not wanting to use the words they described us with. Threat, thug, delinquent, other. Where do they see it? I glance down at the red liquid on my palms and at the waist area of my white dress. It's hard to refer to it as blood. Blood meant death. Death meant mourning. Mourning would turn into anger. And right now, I just wanted to be blank. There would be time for anger and mourning. Lynn, my mother whispers, knocking on the bathroom door and peeking her head in. It's rare for her to be so timid and quiet. As a black woman, my mother knows how important it is for her to use her voice, and she does so, without reservation. I try not to dwell on the fact that my mother is acting so strangely. For now, I will pretend that she isn't feeling well. Or I'm not feeling well. Nothing too out of the ordinary. Just a normal Saturday night. That's how it started, anyway. You better bring her home by 10:30. No staying over, no older movie ran late, none of that shit. 10:30 or I'll kick your ass. Understood? Quinn put his charming smile on as I groaned. She won't be a minute past 10:30, ma'am. My mother eyed him up and down once more before nodding. She kissed my cheek and told us to be careful before shutting the door. Quinn pulled me into him by my waist, tilting his head down to peck me on the lips. I complied, smiling before motioning towards the living room window, where I didn't even have to check to see if my mother was watching with a scold on her brown face. Quinn winced, mother, and I'm sorry, as we hurried towards his car, a black 2016 Ford Fusion with a dent near the back tailgate from that time where he was rear-ended by an older lady, and a red stain on the back seat from his little sister who spilled Kool-Aid earlier that summer. I thanked him as he opened the door for me, shutting it as I sat and striding to the driver's seat. He turned and gave me a proper kiss, my smile ruining any coordination we may have had. He smiled back, like the cocky jerk I loved, and pulled the car into drive, leaving my mother, who I bet all the money in the world was still standing in that living room window, behind. You think she's mad? I laughed, shaking my head. You better it up with all that ma'am nonsense. We've known each other for years. She's just trying to scare you because she can. I wanted to be respectful. He laughed. Your mother would not hesitate to beat the shit out of me, regardless of how long I've owned you, and you know that. She cares about you. It's a good thing nowadays. It is. He made a left into the movie theater parking lot, smiling as he parked in an empty space. Two rows back, near the left pole, with an exposed control box. It would take me a long time to ever return to this movie theater, and an even longer time before I could park anywhere near this spot. You know I care about you, right? He chuckled at my eye roll, shrugging to say it's true. I nodded, pecking him on the cheek once more before opening the passenger door. Yeah, I care about you too. I once watched a show that talked about the validity of memories. Memories usually start off as facts, hard, solid, play-by-play events. But slowly they begin to filter in emotions until they're rendered unreliable. I wonder how long it will take for this moment to change from a play-by-play to an unreliable memory, hopefully forever. Lynn, sweetie, I snap out of my memory, glancing at my mother through the mirror. Did people look at her as a threat? What tonight's events would have occurred if it was just her and me? I know the answers to my question, even though I pretend I don't. Every black person learned the answers to those questions from a young age. We only expand on it as we grow older to understand how difficult it is to live here or anywhere. Yes, Mom? Some officers at the police station want you to give a statement about what happened tonight. They said it will increase the likelihood of getting justice for it. If those officers, I interrupt, are going to be at the station, I'm not going. I'll end up just like Quinn. I mutter the last part, clenching my fist in an attempt to return a numbness. I'm not ready for mourning and anger. Not yet. I still need it to process. Lynn? Mom moves closer, her hand resting on the small of my back. It was only then that I realized I started to tremble and my breathing had speed up. Too many emotions. It won't be reliable. I needed to focus on the cold, hard facts. My play-by-play. You should wash your hands, sweetie, and change. It'll help. No, it won't. It's a start. She effectively turns the faucet on, motioning me for me to run my hands under the warm water and wash away tonight's events. I'm not ready to wash my hands. You keep staring at them, Lynn. It's not healthy. You need to wash his blood off of you. Change your clothes and lie down. I don't need to lie down, Mother. My tongue is sharp as I pull away from her slightly. My stomach fills with a bottomless pit of dread, nausea washing over me like I just gotten off a roller coaster that was too adventurous for my taste. Only this ride was far from over, and I don't remember signing up to get on it in the first place. "I'm sorry," I whisper. "I understand," she whispers back.